Life is here, no 11th hour of reprieve, so don't forget to breathe. Keep your head above water, but don't forget to breathe.
Live, Discovery Paranormal on the air. Whoo, Christmas is over. Thank the Lord, Jehovah, Buddha, Allah. You know what? Sometimes I like Christmas, but man, oh man, it can really be heavy and drag on you and push you down to the ground. So this Christmas, I tried to remain drama-free, even though it doesn't really stay away. It's kind of like sweeping back the ocean with a broom. It ain't going to happen, man. But here we are, and tonight on this show, we are talking about maybe an alien message from outer space. So, I'm into science in a big way, and, you know, I study a lot of things in science, physics, that is all kinds of physics anyway, that kind of thing. And this is intriguing, and I do believe in UFOs, and we talk about that here all the time. And last week on the show, we actually talked about these sounds coming from deep in the ocean, 7 miles down in the ocean, you know, that are definitely electronic, you know, not man-made, but artificial, so manufactured by something, and electronic, you know, and we talked about that last week. So tonight, we're going to talk about FRBs and what they are. So, I'm going to read from an article, but I'm also going to throw some stuff in there because I think a lot of this is really deep and interesting, and I don't think that these articles even go anywhere near as far as they should go in talking about these things that happen, phenomena, right? So 3 billion light years away from Earth, there's a distant constellation, and it could be trying to contact us. 6 bursts of radio waves have been detected from the constellation Auriga, each lasting just a few milliseconds. Now, you might say, okay, this is 3 billion light years away. We can't possibly even imagine going there because we can barely get down the block. You know what I mean? Let alone 3 billion light years away, you know? But what if a civilization is reaching out and this could be a first contact? This could be a first contact in the sense of that you know about it, not some governmental thing, not some Ronald Reagan thing when he suggested that there were extraterrestrials and they could be hostile. There's a whole bunch of people that suggested that, even Vladimir Putin, you know. And these guys are in the know. But I think they're in the know in the world of plausible deniability. I don't think that presidents even get told a lot of what is going on because it's a temp job. And why would you want to tell someone that, you know, if they don't have to you know, it's in the military and in intelligence service, we say need to know. You know, it's a need to know basis. If they don't need to know, they're not going to know. So think about that, all right? So here we have six bursts of radio waves from one constellation, right? Now, while the source of the waves remains unknown, some suggest that the mysterious burst of energy could be a sign of alien life trying to contact us. So what are fast radio bursts? A fast radio burst, or FRB, are radio emissions that appear temporarily and randomly, making them not only hard to find, but also hard to study. The mystery stems from the fact it is not known what could produce such a short and sharp burst. Now keep in mind, these are people that listen to space. They spend their lives listening to space, right? It's their whole deal. So just like those people who were studying whales, and they heard this crazy noise from 7 miles down, they knew that wasn't a whale. They had a whale hanging out 7 miles down. You know, I mean, whales can dive, I think, maybe three and a half miles, a sperm whale. And then, but seven? 7 miles down? So they try to put their angle on it, saying, hey, it's this, it could be this. And yeah, you have to play, if you're in any investigation, you have to play devil's advocate. You've got to be the one to ask the hard question and think outside the box on what it could be. So in this situation, they don't know. In this situation, they can't disprove the alien theory. Okay, so here we have these fast radio bursts, right? And if these are artificially created messages, that is something substantial. So the first FRB was spotted, you know, or rather heard by radio telescopes back in 2007. And we're just getting into new technology. We as humans, you know, the stuff that we have, I mean, not long ago we were using sticks and stones. So the stuff that we have compared to any kind of advanced civilization, obviously, is nothing. You know, you can take the stuff that we have now and go back to Egypt when they were building the pyramids, and man, we got some technology. And to those people, we would have, like, we were really advanced and whatever, even though we're not. You know, I don't think that electronics advances us. I don't think by using toilet paper it makes us civilized. But, and obviously if you read the headlines, it doesn't. Okay. But talking about these signals, they were so temporary and seemingly random that it took years for astronomers to agree it wasn't a glitch in one of the telescope's instruments. The waves were detected by researchers from McGill University in Montreal, using the Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia and at the Arecibo Observation in Puerto Rico. In their paper published in the Astrophysical Journal, that researchers led by Paul Schultz wrote, we have detected six additional radio bursts from the source, five with the Green Bank Telescope at 2 gigahertz and one at 1.4 gigahertz with the Arecibo Observatory, for a total of 17 bursts from this source. The detection follows 11 previously recorded outbursts from the same location. This is the only known repeater of fast radio bursts. Despite there being a number of FRBs from the site, the origin of the bursts is an ongoing puzzle to researchers. So think about it. It's unprecedented. It's something that they're not getting from anywhere else. It's something that they're saying is not natural. Okay. Let's talk about Carl Sagan. I'm in Ithaca, New York. Cornell University rules Ithaca, New York. It should be called Cornell, New York, probably. And everybody knows about Carl Sagan here because he taught at Cornell. He was a big guy. He lived here, his wife also. And I actually knew people I knew him really well and died a long time ago. But I also have met his father-in-law since. And we've had some great conversations. So, Carl Sagan liked to talk about space. Space was a big deal to him. And he wrote a book, about that. So, in 1997, a film called Contact, which is an adaptation of a novel written by Carl Sagan, where Jodie Foster becomes the first human to make contact with an extraterrestrial civilization after detecting a strong pattern radio signal from outer space. I didn't see the movie. I'm not into Jodie Foster. Sorry. But there's some actors that just rubbed me the wrong way. And like Brad Pitt, you know? People like that. So I avoid those movies, right? So people are like, hey, man, do you ever see this? And Brad Pitt, I'm like, nah. Oh, how could you not? How could you not see Fight Club? I'm like, then I don't like Brad Pitt. Anyway, though fictional, the movie may have been prophetic. For the last 15 years, scientists have been detecting strange radio bursts from deep space that appear mathematical in nature. Now, get this. Mathematical in nature. And this is in the New Scientist, if you want to read the article. The fact that they display a mathematical pattern is the linchpin. There are no known natural phenomenon capable of generating radio bursts with this kind of pattern. It's unprecedented, right? Not only that, it's, you know what, these guys, like I say, these guys spend all their time doing this. You know, if there's a fart in space, they record it and they try to analyze it. You know what I mean? And then they just do their business. So this is something that's really exciting, that it does have a mathematical, it's mathematical nature. But even if it is, an alien technology would probably be so far from our technology, it is safe to say, that we would not be able to decode, decipher, or understand. And this is the cosmic equation. The cosmic equation is that there are civilizations so advanced that we are like dogs to them. And they have a hard time, if not impossible, to really convey information and talk to us. Or it's a couple of stars floating around out there bumping into one another, or, you know, close to each other, right? But they're saying mathematical in nature. So let's say it is an alien. Let's say they are aliens. Why would they reach out? What would be the reason? To explore? To find someone? To look for someone? You know, maybe their world is dying. They're looking for a new world. And the amount of power you need to generate something like that is way beyond our technology, because we can only broadcast a little bit. And our radio waves travel at the speed of light. Radio waves travel the same as the speed of light. But if we get into theories like tachyons, which is subatomic particles traveling faster than the speed of light, then that's a whole different world. You know, then they wouldn't need as much energy to send a signal, but it would be, it wouldn't be wise to think that we could receive something like that. So it leaves a lot to the imagination. Let's just say, because I could talk for days about this, you know, and the what-ifs. But let's just keep in mind that there's no natural phenomenon capable that we know of, as the humans that we are, of generating radio bursts with this kind of pattern. So either these radio waves represent some yet undiscovered celestial event, or they're being produced by some kind of a manufactured technology. So in other words, if they do have a technological origin and they aren't being generated by us, you know, by us meaning that it's some signal that's popping back at us, that means there could be signals from extraterrestrial intelligence, right? So we've established that. So the reason this may be the first you've heard about this is it really hasn't been out there. In the media, you know, you don't hear a lot of people talking about this. Maybe this is, you know, they don't want to. But I think it's exciting, and I think it's important to talk about. But the reason why you haven't heard their saying is that scientists still aren't entirely sure what to make of them. There are a lot of possible explanations, but the fact that scientists can't rule out the possibility of an alien origin is pretty mind-blowing, you know, and frightening, if you think about it. Because it's something new. All right. Beyond something new. Other possibilities. Let's talk about what's not aliens. There's a few known cosmic objects capable of producing bursts of radio waves. For instance, dense remnant stars called pulsars produced it, but not with such regularity or with as much power as observed in FRBs. Still, perhaps there are some undiscovered super-dense stars that operate according to an underlying physics we don't yet understand, which is what I just talked about, which are spitting these radio waves across the cosmos, and then we're kind of sitting there like, hey, what's this, you know? And you have to be able to decipher that. That's one possible nature, that's one possible natural explanation, right? But some other scientists have theorized that FRBs could come from what's known as a contact binary star system. Two stars orbiting each other at extremely close distance. It's also possible that the signals are coming from something human. Perhaps an unmapped spy satellite is hovering about, appearing to send signals from deep space. And then, you know, people tell tale of the Black Knight and a satellite that's up there put by alien civilizations a long time ago. We can't see it. You know, a radar, if you get close to it, it destroys our satellites. Could be. I can't say it doesn't exist. And until someone proves it doesn't exist, it's got the possibility of existing, right? So human sources that could make this, humans on Earth, right? Human sources can be difficult to rule out. For instance, back in 2010, the Parkes Observatory picked up 16 pulses with similar characteristics from FRBs that turned out to be signals generated from microwave ovens operated at the Parkes facility. Though these signals were clearly of terrestrial origin, unlike FRBs, it goes to show that there may be a simpler human explanation for FRBs that has yet to be identified. So yeah, the guy's making microwave popcorn, and they're thinking it's aliens. But FRBs are different than this. But this is just these guys, you know, saying, hey, it could be this, it could be that, right? The ET theory. If the radio bursts do not turn out to be beacons from extraterrestrials, which is a possibility that can't be ruled out, then there are some exciting but scary scenarios to consider. FRBs would not be easy messages to send. The amount of energy required to send such powerful bursts from another galaxy is hard to fathom. Such alien technology would be far more advanced than anything we can imagine, with the ability to harness power equivalent to the sun. That's power, man. In other words, any face-to-face encounter with such a civilization may not end well for us if they turn out to be hostile. Also, keep in mind, our system, our ecosystem on this planet has a delicate balance when it comes to the bacteria, things like that. If you add something new to this planet that's not indigenous of this planet, you kill everybody and everything. So, ultimately, scientists will need more evidence before any firmer conclusions may be drawn about the origin of these FRBs. More of the signals will need to be detected, for instance, just to establish what they do, that they all represent a consistent pattern. With only 10 signals to work with currently, the sample size isn't very large. But there are more than 10. It's just that there are some from, I mean, they're all looking at kind of one constellation, but they're looking at one area than another. And then they're talking about this alien megastructure they think is out there. And it doesn't make sense to them. So they're trying to figure it out. But we're here on Earth, looking way out into space, you know, with radio telescopes. So you're talking about a lot of real basic technology trying to reach out, like a baby with a crayon, trying to write something down, send it on out. So, okay, this dude writes, there is something really interesting we need to understand. This will either be new physics, like a new kind of pulsar, or in the end, if we can exclude everything else, an extraterrestrial, said Michael Hipke of the Institute for Data Analysis in Germany. When you set out to search for something new, you might find something unexpected. You know what? That's true. I do that in the supermarket all the time, man. Scientists at a U.S. conference has said it is time to try to actively contact intelligent life. Now, this one is funny. Because people on this planet don't even know how to talk to each other. Right? Or they take everything the wrong way. And you've seen people just, in this past election cycle and all the hysteria that's gone on and all the lumpskullery that's been happening, there's people who are just, that are just off the wall, like nuts, man. And they can't even communicate. Their skill of communication is to call you a name and say, I don't want to be your friend anymore. You know? People you know for freaking 20 years. Right? So now these guys want to reach out. So, researchers involved in the search for extraterrestrial life are considering what the message from Earth should be. I think stay away, or go back long way, or no trespassing. You know what I mean? Something like that. You know, stay away, toxic humans. Stay away. Goa el Unoa. And what language do you think, you know? Like it maybe just a big middle finger. Like a big satellite shaped like a middle finger. Like, you know, some sign language. Stay away. So, okay. The call was made by the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute at a meeting of the American Association of the Advancement of Science in San Jose. But others argued that making our presence known might be dangerous, which we just talked about. Researchers at the SETI Institute have been listening to signals from outer space for more than 30 years using radio telescope facilities in the U.S. and around the world. So far, there has been no sign of ET. The organization's director, Dr. Seth Shostak, told attendees at the AAAS meeting that it was now time to step up the search. So keep looking at this, man. Keep in mind, all at one time, we're hearing about alien stuff, we're seeing alien stuff. You know, more people have cameras now than ever. They're capturing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it looks like crap. You know, it doesn't look like it's shot by Steven Spielberg, you know, but I mean, they are capturing something. And the military's not saying anything about it. The government says nothing about it. Obama giving cryptic answers to people about aliens. You know, other presidents also with their crazy cryptic answers. Other leaders around the world, you know. And then you have ex-astronauts coming out saying, yeah, of course it's aliens. We've seen them. Airline pilots coming forward. People who are credible. You know, military people who are retired coming forward. There's no reason. I mean, most of them don't write books. Most of them are on some lecture circuit. There's no reason for them to come forward and say that there's UFOs if they're not UFOs. So, yeah, obviously, since so many people have had so many experiences, and it's been mainly negative, you know, the anal probing thing is kind of a joke within the UFO community. But really, unless you're into that sort of thing, and the right mood is set, I don't think that the alien's going to break out the wine, put on some Barry White, sit next to you, start blowing in your ear. I think it's a brash, horrible medical thing that doesn't sound very appetizing. All right? So, to me, I don't trust the government as it is. And I have my reasons. I've seen enough of them. And I understand enough about what goes on to not have trust. And that's okay. I don't have to trust, do I? And I'm talking about any government, you know? I think that they're in business of business, their own business. And it's not about representing people. So if there was any kind of alien thing, you don't have a need to know. They don't need to tell you, right? And then if you have a need to know, then they would finally tell you. If there was an alien invasion coming and they want to arm the citizens so you could fight back, then you would need to know. But until that happens, you don't need to know. And it would probably cause mass hysteria in a lot of places where people you know, aren't that swift, where people are kind of slow, you know, like, or scare easily. Look at this election. People running to their therapists about Donald Trump winning. People crying in their Starbucks coffee, grabbing their teddy bears and wetting their pants because somebody won. Wow. And they're going to handle aliens? Some kind of ET is going to pop down in Times Square on New Year's Eve, pop the hatch and say, hey, who's up for probing? You know what I mean? So it really is need to know. So if we live in that kind of world, which we do, because our government can't even be straight about simple things, let alone complicated things, then we need to search the information for ourselves, which is why you're listening to the show right now, because we look for information. UPRN, there's so many hosts on United Public Radio Network that search for the truth, that want to know. It's our own quest to find out the truth. We're not going to find it from CNN. We're not going to find it from Fox. We're not going to find it from any of these corporate media sources, because we don't have a need to know. Our need to know is eternal. If you're searching for this information because there's something inside of you that reaches out and says, I want to know. I want to experience this. If you want to experience alien probing, from aliens, I don't know. Everybody's got their own level of kink. All right, let's get back to seriousness. Researchers at the SETI Institute have been listening to signals from outer space. Some of us at the Institute are interested in active SETI, not just listening to broadcasting something to some nearby stars, because maybe there's some chance that if you wake somebody up, you'll get a response. I saw that in a Godzilla movie, and it didn't work out too well for the people there. The concerns are obvious, but sitting in his office in the Institute at Mountain View, California, in the heart of Silicon Valley, he expresses them with characteristic impish glee. Any society that could come here and ruin our whole day by incinerating the planet already knows we are here, Dr. Seth Shostak from the SETI Institute said, which isn't necessarily true, right? Because it's a big universe. There's a lot of space in space. And if you can't explore, I mean, every little part of space, then you don't know what's out there. So I read an interesting article about mining and mining companies. It was in an investor's paper that the next tycoons are going to be the people who are invested in companies that go mining in space for gold, for other gems, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of precious metals, metals that we don't have here. Maybe super strong metals that we don't have here that can be used for all kinds of things. So there's a lot to be debated when it comes to that. And years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, I always said that the first people in space really are going to be part of mining companies, because it made sense, you know? And here we are, is what they're talking about, that the next trillionaires are going to be people who invest in that kind of mission. You're going to see the big mining companies, you know, putting their hands in. So, but I don't agree. I think that if you make yourself aware, then people might come to you, or something might come to you. So a lot of people are against active SETI because it is dangerous. It's like shouting into the jungle. You don't know what's out there, so you better not do it. If you incite the aliens to obliterate the planet, you wouldn't want that on your tombstone. Yeah, Trump could Twitter in the middle of the night, aliens, what do they know, piss them off, thing. It would obliterate the Earth, and technically speaking, you wouldn't have a tombstone. Technically speaking, there wouldn't be anything left. It wouldn't even be a memory. It would be gone. It'd be a big dust bowl. There'd be no history. It'd be nothing. If the Earth exploded, you wouldn't know it, and it'd be nothing. So keep that in mind. I couldn't argue with that, but initially, I could scarcely believe I was having this conversation at a serious research institute rather than at a science fiction convention. The sci-fi feel of our talk was underlined by the toy figures of bug-eyed aliens that fully decorate the office. But Dr. Shostak is a credible and popular figure and has been invited to present his argument. Leading astronomers, anthropologists, and social scientists will gather at his institute after the AAAS meeting for a symposium to flesh out plans for a proposal for active SETI to put to the public and politicians. High on the agenda is whether such a move would, as he put it so starkly, lead to the obliteration of the planet. Oh, like I said, it depends on who you piss off, right? I think it comes down to that. I don't see why the aliens would have any incentive to do that, Dr. Shostak tells me. Beyond that, we have been telling them willy-nilly that we are here for 70 years now. They are not very interesting messages for the early TV broadcasts. The early radio, I think we see that's out there. Think about it. You know, when it comes to radio waves, if you take the theory that these radio waves are shooting off into space and keep going and keep going and keep going without dissipating, then you're talking about radio. You're talking about, and this is where things get really complicated, because I think that the easiest way I can explain this to you is to talk about timelines. And I love timelines because we all have one. We all have our life-death ratio. We all have things, timelines that happen within life-death ratios. So let's say, like one time I was in Arizona, right? I was driving towards Flagstaff, which is a huge mountain range. And as you're driving there, you see Flagstaff, you can see the mountain, but you're still 8 hours away, driving time. And you're driving, you still see the mountain getting a little bit bigger every hour. But you realize that you can see it, you just can't get there unless you go through this process, a whole series of other timelines of getting there. Okay? Now let's say we're looking out in space, and we're looking out in deep space. Like these signals that are coming from deep space, they're traveling, like I said, it's 3 billion light years away. 3 billion light years away. So these signals could be billions of years old. They don't know. Everything that we see in space could be gone. Because by the time that light reaches us, for all that time it takes for light, for radio waves, because none of that stuff is instantaneous. It all has a timeline, a traveling line. You know? And when it comes to physics, there are some things in physics, in quantum physics, that are incredible. Whereas, you know, it's like if you had a pencil hand, and that pencil shot through space, and it was at its destination, billions of light years away, and somebody else was holding that pencil. You're holding it, they're holding it at the same time, even though that time is not the same. So it gets very complicated when we start talking about receiving radio waves and sending out messages. So now you could have civilizations out there that will get messages from World War I, World War II. Whenever they start broadcasting, you know, you hear these radio messages from World War II about Hitler or whatever. Think about the concept of how long it would take to even get messages to people who are billions of light years away. Unless they had some kind of unbelievable technology. But their technology reaching us is different than our technology reaching them. And us detecting their technology is different than them detecting our technology, right? So clash of the cultures. Let's talk about our civilization, right? The first contact between industrial civilizations, the first contact between indigenous people and people who come from elsewhere, it didn't go very well. Because humans are conquering. We are a conquering species. People can't even live next to each other sometimes. And then look at religion. People, man created religion. Religions are conquering religion. No matter what the Pope says, because he says that Islam is a conquering religion. It is, but they all are, because they all want to be the one, and they all want to be right, and they all want that money, and they all want that power, and they all need that worship. Do you think that God would want you to worship God? That's awfully narcissistic. Right? So let's talk about this active study of sending out these messages. Yeah, so let's say you send messages to a hostile species then, because they're out there. I believe that. And looking at the levels of life on this planet, I believe that there could be hostile species out there that could have a great technology. Just because they have technology doesn't mean that they're decent beings, that they're so evolved that they're these utopian beings who just want to teach people things. No, I don't believe that. But this is how these guys are. There's one group that just wants to put a message out of humans. Like some evolved in the discussions believe we should send a sanitized account of ourselves, leaving out parts of our history we aren't proud of and putting a positive spin on our achievements, as if our species were attending some job interview or first date. And this is what you guys think, in job interviews and first date. So I don't trust people, man. But Dr. Shostak disagrees. He thinks the only way to win over any kind of alien species is to be ourselves, right? My personal preference is to send the internet. Send it because then you see a lot of information out there. We're going to go see a lot of porno, a lot of advertising. You know, you try to open up a goddamn website, and it doesn't want to open because it's loading, loading, loading. The Daily Mail does that. Man, how frustrating that is. I like the paper. I like the Daily Mail publication anyway. But it's very hard to read anything because they just load tons and tons of crap on their page. So is that the way to talk to an alien species? How about, hey, look at us. We're so screwed up you don't want to come here. Look at us. We destroy everything we put our hands on. You know, come to us. Come here. We'll hump you because that's what we are. We're humping creatures. You know, like you put every bad spin on it that you could to keep these species away because, well, are they going to come here and cure cancer? No. Are they going to come here and ease people's pain? No. What if you cured cancer? Let's say you cured everything. I had a discussion the other day about this. What if you cured everything in the world? Every disease, all that stuff. And people could live hundreds of years, maybe thousands. There'd be so many people, you wouldn't have any food. You wouldn't have any clean water, air, space, room. We already have over 7 billion people on the planet and counting. The species is increasing. Some of the peoples are decreasing. African Americans in the United States, down to 13%. It was 16. They're not at replacement numbers because African Americans have been, and I don't even like the term African Americans, black people in America have been fragmented. The families have been fragmented. And then it's a long, drawn-out genocide. Same for the Indian people in the United States of America. The same for Japanese, for instance, that they're not at replacement numbers and their civilization is dying out, you know? But you have, you know, countries like China and India that are thriving and producing more and more numbers. So are humans to be trusted with extraterrestrial anything? And do we need them? You know, so when the conquistadors showed up, it didn't work out well for Native Americans. When the pilgrims showed up, it didn't work out well for the Native Americans. So basically, that's what it is. And if we look at Puma Punku, which I love to reference, these people are over 12,000 feet in the Andes Mountain, and they felt the need to build a wall around their temple and around their civilization, a wall that people couldn't get through. So think about that, how deep that is. And then you have all these civilizations. Last week we talked about Stonehenge. These civilizations, you know, the one Stonehenge that they found in the Amazon, the other ones they found around the world, they relied on the stars. Do you actually think that they needed to tell time? Do you think that they were keeping a record? Oh, it's 3 o'clock, time for my hair appointment. Yeah, a couple thousand years ago? Do you think that, you know, basically you wake up, you go get your food, you go back to your mate, you do it, you go to sleep. That's my system. That's my system anyway. But, yeah, you don't have to go to the office. There's no, oh, I have to make my commute. Let me go sit in traffic 3 hours to get to the city so I can slave away in an office under artificial light and make my way home so I can make a few bucks to pay for my house and my taxes and my food. It was much more simple for people back then. Go out, you hunt, you sit around. There's a lot more family time than what we have now in this crazy pace. So maybe this advancement that we've gotten into is not an advancement. Instead, it's actually going back. Because if we're going to evolve as people, we need to spend time with other people. Now people are spending time with people through social media, yakking back and forth, fighting basically, fighting back and forth, you know, about all kinds of nonsense. So tell me why I'm an alien, all right? Here I am, flying around the earth. Whoa! Why should I come down and talk to you? What am I going to get out of it? Some probing? I've been there and done that. Maybe I'm probed out, and I don't want to probe no more, you know? So, yeah, it could be that, too. Or we could do some science experiment, and they're observing us. Or they can be us, right? Because you have the Hopi Indians talking about the ant people who came from beneath the surface of the earth. We give them all this knowledge, teach them how to do stuff, show them how to make tools, show them how to make tools. Do you think this is ants coming from the ground, showing giant ants, showing Indians how to make tools, teaching them things about civilization? Or do you think that inside this big-ass earth that we have, that we've only explored maybe 2% of the ocean, the whole ocean? We don't know what's down there. We know what's going on. We can't even get down there for the most part. We can't get inside the earth. Apparently, inside the earth, there's more water than that's on the surface of the earth. So you tell me, there are mysteries upon mysteries upon mysteries. What do people spend their time on? Oh, I'm going to friend you. Trump won. Oh, I can't believe, where's my teddy bear? Where's my coloring book? Really? Instead of, wow, look at those mysteries. I want to explore. I want to go out there. I want to explore. No, I'm going to sit on my computer, and I'm going to Facebook people all day, and I'm going to post pictures, and I'm going to do this nonsense. Hey, look, I took 40 pictures of my face today. Let me post 40 pictures. Look, I'm making duck lips. Remember duck lips? That's humans. So if you want to give aliens, first of all, if there's extraterrestrial life around here, yeah, they, of course they know. They're sitting there watching this right now, laughing their ass off. They're listening to me right now, saying this is the only dude making sense on the whole goddamn planet. Right? So that's the deal. And I think that in the end, if we want to progress as people and go forward as people, we need to help each other. If we want to understand what's going on out there, we need to understand what's going on in here and stop hating on each other, stop being angry with each other, stop this whole, you know, yeah, you can have borders of your countries, but you don't need to have division. Any alien species looking at us is going to know that. So let's say, you know, remember Ronald Reagan talking about aliens when reporters asked him, and I guess it slipped out or he just said it. Maybe he was messing around. Right? He was like, what do you want me to do? saw you, yeah, there's aliens, and yeah, there could be a threat. We got involved in all that Star Wars crap back then. Speaking of Star Wars, Carrie Fisher died today, you know, of Star Wars fame and a whole bunch of other stuff. Man, I loved her. Amazing actor, and really, the first female, think about sci-fi movies in general, you know, you have the really hot Jane Fonda, and she did that thing where she was, like, naked through the whole movie, which was awesome. Barbarella. The only reason to watch it, you know, I had no reason to watch Barbarella, but to see Jane Fonda naked through the whole movie, yeah, I'm a horn dog, you know, but good. But Carrie Fisher, again, very beautiful, very sweet, very awesome person. You know, had a lifetime of hardships with drugs and alcohol and, you know, cigarettes, problems and some hard years, blah, 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 blah. 60 years old, here she is gone. Passed on anyway. So, but I'm a big Star Wars fan. I haven't seen I saw the ones that came out, like, the late 70s and early 80s. I didn't see the ones that came out after that. Number 1, 2, and 3 I didn't see. Number 4, 5, and 6 I did see. Number 7 I didn't see. And now number 8 just came out, which I didn't see. And I don't know why I'm not seeing it. I think that it was so politically correct just watching the trailers. It just turned me off. I don't like movies that are so political like that, especially when they're movies. I mean, even though, think about it. Carrie Fisher was being, like, tortured by her father, and her brother was horny for her. I mean, that's a pretty amazing storyline. But, and the whole thing was just really Nazi-esque, the stormtroopers and whatever. And that's, I hate to say, that science fiction movies tend to come true. If you look way back at science fiction movies and the technology that they used, that was just dreamt up. We're doing that now. We're using that technology. You know, maybe we don't have a technically transporter device, but they do know how to transport light from one chamber to another via radioactive clouds, which is amazing. As a matter of fact, I talked to Carl Sagan's father-in-law about that exactly. That, and it was the day that they announced it, and we both heard it, that we're both listening to it on the radio, and we started talking about all of that, which is amazing, you know? So, yeah, there are visionaries out there like Carl Sagan. There are people out there who are thinking outside the box, people out there that would love to make contact, but maybe one in a million that would be worthwhile. What are they going to tell us that we don't already know for ourselves about each other? So if we want to work for goals of going into space, we need to stop fighting here. We need to stop the wars. We need to stop hating. We need to stop attacking each other for our ideas and our feelings. If we are going to progress as people in the universe, these are the things that we need to do. And then I'm sure any advanced, you know, any advanced form of life would love to come forward to us and say, hey, how do you taste? Put you on a grill and eat you. Yeah, you found the space version of cannibals, you know? Congratulations. Now you have the space cannibals. And that's been hypothesized. There are people that have talked about that. Well, you know, what if they have intent? Well, and then I love the scientists that don't think outside the box. And they're scientists. And you know what? I'm here at Cornell. I meet a lot of scientists. I you know, every event that they have to do with space where physicists talk, I'm pretty much there. You know, I talk to these people sometimes at great length. And I catch them. I catch them before they leave, and I'm 6'5" and like almost 300 pounds. I'm a huge freaking guy. I was a giant football player who's like standing over you. Guy, you stuck in a corner, and there's these like little tiny scientists. And I won't let them leave. They have to answer all my questions. I interrogate them. But really, these are people who think outside the box. These are people who think about, you know, in terms of dark matter and collecting dark matter and how powerful dark matter is and out that's our fuel for the future for getting into space. You know, nanobot technology, Cornell, number one in nanobot technology in the world. You know, amazing. Nanobot, I mean, you know, robots that work at a molecular level are amazing. That can reassemble anything. Theoretically, build you an arm. You lose an arm, they can build you an arm. Theoretically, make all your cells new. In fact, a team did that they rejuvenated cells in the mouse, cells that were aging, brain cells and all that, made them young again. So this is the technology that we're on to. These are the things that we're moving through. But all the technology, and what are people doing? They're still angry. They're still with their hate. They're still with their hate speech. They're still, you know, losing the battle with themselves for dignity. So enough with the hate speech. How about we work together as mankind and go forward, right? But there are scientists who think about these alien species that, oh yeah, you know, they, because they've achieved that level of technology, they're good, they're okay. Who said that? Maybe some. I think it's actually ignorant to assume that about the entire universe, that there is no evil out there in the universe, only here on this planet. I don't believe in that. So it's important that you protect yourself from anything in the world. It's important that if something comes here, and there's been lots of movies about it, plenty of movies about it. In fact, there aren't too many movies about aliens coming here and having it work out well. You know, I think 90% of them is about them coming here and just, you know, attacking us and us fighting back, and you get Randy Quaid saving the day. Imagine that. Randy Quaid saving the day. That's crazy. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot to think about, and you have to think outside the box. If you don't think outside the box, if scientists didn't think outside the box, they would have never discovered neutrinos. They would never have built super colliders. They would never be looking for dark matter. They'd never be, you know, reaching out into science that we don't quite understand, that you have to move in those directions. You know, in the world of Taoism, it was the Taoist alchemists who created this science, who created medicine, who went, you know, he practiced with things like cinnabar, you know, poisoned themselves in a lot of cases. And through trial and error, right? So you have to think outside the box. And thinking outside the box is being balanced. If you're balanced, then you have an understanding of what's going on at all in life. Anything that you do, you need to strike a balance. And you need to stand back and look at it intelligently and with respect. Then you'll know what the hell is going on. So I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. I will see you guys next week. I want to wish you a happy new year. Go out there, celebrate. Don't get too schmitzed-faced. Don't get too crazy. You know, watch your back. Be aware of your surroundings. You know, there's a lot of energy out there. So I will see you guys next week. Happy new year, happy new year, happy new year, y'all.
Screamed out loud in your face now. You got away with it. I believed you for a hot minute. Good as a friend in the moment, but I had to go ghost in me lonely. Where were you when I needed you? Tell me, where were you when I needed you? Ooh, where you got vision? When you finally have picked up behind you and ain't well with you. You not my bestie, you a fake ass bitch just like the rest. I was all the way down, you was all the way gone. Now you tryna come back cause I'm all the way gone. I got both little fingers all the way up. And for our drugs, I don't give two fucks. If I say something, my moves are back. And you be running your mouth and it'll match your actions. I ain't throwing shade, I'm just saying. Act like this, I won't say it off your own plate. Cause it's not a compliment when I say you bad. You just a F-A-D with your fake ass bitch.
I've had a hand for the real one. Put it down, had my back since day one. Never hear about him throwing no shade up. So if you wanna stand up, hey, do they got to think you had enough? Don't worry about it, middle fingers up to these play got vision. Hey. And finally you finally a face up behind you and ain't got vision. And they even wanna do it off your plate and they don't get it. When they words and they actions blur.
Nothing lazy.
Morning, beautiful.
Didn't you forget something? And don't forget the trash.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can stop the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go by yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame, yeah. As the world.
You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you can go. Breaking all the records you thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. Never gonna know if you ever even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
The world's gonna know your name.
astronaut speed champions, be truth seekers, be school free teachers, be politicians, be preachers, preachers, be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
fright is how a superhero learns to
did an article for Yahoo. They asked me to do an article on what could you do to bring peace to the world. I said, get rid of religion and money, and poof, you've got peace. And then they didn't want to publish it because they thought I'd hate God. I said, nowhere in here did I say get rid of God. I said, get rid of religion and money.
Yeah, they don't see that.
You see the difference, but I don't think they could.
Well, I think that spirituality is religion, and religion is spirituality, which it can be both, but it doesn't have to be.
And I agree. That's a strange thing in itself, why some people understand that. Like, you knew exactly what I was talking about when I said it, but yet if we were talking to strangers on the street, they'd be thinking we were hating on God. No, we weren't hating on God. We were hating on religion. We weren't hating on anything, actually, but still, you know what I mean.
Just realizing that there's a limit there. And the limit of a lot of these religions comes from fear. They're fear-based. So it's really sad.
That's something I hope we see change in the future, that it does change. Now, Brian writes in from Texas. Where are you, Brian, in Texas? 30 miles outside of Dallas. Okay, I don't know where that is. Welcome to the show. He wants to know if you could give Obama advice on this, what would you tell him? Well, that's an interesting question.
That is. I wonder if give him advice on what?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. It's kind of open-ended. Brian, on what? On disclosure, extraterrestrials, awakenings? Oh, he wanted to know if you could advise him helping the population become more open. Not sure what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Open to probably what we've been talking about. I'm not sure I don't think any of the politicians are into that, for one thing.
I agree.
I think they would think it might not get them the vote. And whether they are, I'm not sure. It could hurt him as well as help him, I don't know. But I don't feel like he's going to step in there at all. I don't think any of our politicians have, except in the earlier days of our country.
You know, that's a true point, because back 50, 80 years ago, they had a different view on both paranormal and God. And today's politicians, most politicians I've noticed today, don't even want to talk about God. It's like a plague.
Well, they had a lot of them in the past were theosophists. And they had a lot of intellectuals in the New England area, and even a lot of famous people were believing in spirituality and enlightenment and that sort of thing. I think because they just come over and, the United States was new, it was young, But asking if I could be more detailed in answering his question. I don't know if I've helped answer his question very well.
Well, Brian, if you get a more put together question, send it to us. We're going to move on. Now, here's Kellen writing in from California. What is this? Let me read this right quick. Girl, you got to use bigger font or something. Damn. I can't see that little font. Oh, she wants to know, do you think, if for some reason Obama decided to disclose, do you think the majority of the planet is ready for disclosure, or do you think they would freak out? Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, that's a good question. And don't you think, I think that they have to be prepared. I don't think they are ready in a lot of ways. I think they could be ready if it was handled right. And organized, looked at it like an education, raised teaching facilities or organizations to help train people and enlighten people and educate people what it's about. But we're a long way from there. But first, we've got to learn to bring love into the planet. There's a lot of anger and hate out there, from the microcosm to the macrocosm.
It's true, there is.
And yes, that is the first step right there. Absolutely. It really is.
It is, and it's something we've got to work on.
You know, in the earlier days, Reagan and his wife were very much into astrology, but you probably knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And people made fun of them a lot, you know. But they were very aware.
Yeah, and he's still the most powerful president.
Yeah, President Carter. I mean, he admits to having seen or having experienced a UFO. And going back to Eisenhower and even earlier, but it seems like after, when the Bush administration going forward, everything changed.
I don't know what Daddy Bush told Baby Bush. I have no doubt that George W. Sr. knew what was going on. Head of the CIA, vice president for 8 years, president for 4 years. So if anybody knew about this, he did. I always wonder, since we went back to the Middle East, you know, he went to the Middle East and then we went back to the Middle East with his son. I always wonder if he told him, and was there a particular reason? You know, I know we all went over there for oil and freedom and all that. I really still to this day don't think that's what the Middle East fights were about. It really feels like to me we were looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
I could just be completely wrong here too, Karen. I mean, really, but you know, we spent a lot of money over there now, over $1 trillion. We've got 3 different wars we fought over there. Don't have much to show for it. Middle East don't have much to show for it. So, you know, it's hard to say exactly what was going on. And I know Daddy Bush knew. I've always wondered if he told Baby Bush. You know, second-term presidents, sometimes they tell. Not always, but sometimes. I know there's more Republicans seem to know than Democrats. I don't know if that even, you think there's any reason for that, or is it just the way it played out?
If there's more what now?
It looks like there's more Republicans that have known about ET than Democrats. Because I don't think Carter or Clinton knew. But I'm positive
Reagan knew. You didn't think what?
I'm positive that Reagan knew. I have no doubt that Reagan knew.
Yeah, well, I think Carter had an experience.
Yeah, he did.
As an extraterrestrial, and he okayed it, and he said, yes, they exist. But probably, I don't know. I guess there are, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, I don't know that that's really the issue of whether they've seen it. Maybe, maybe not.
I don't think the party's the issue. I think the individual's the issue. Can they be trusted? But,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Just in the last 20 or 30 years, or the last 50 years, it just seems like more Republicans knew than Democrats. Now, if you go back 75 or 80 years, it may be the other way around. Whichever party's got the best one might be the one knowing. But Clinton, I don't think they told him, Karen, because I don't think they feel like he was going to keep his mouth shut. I think if they would have told him, he might have decided to tell the country, because he was really into this. So was Hillary. I mean, they were having meetings about it, bringing people to their home. They were really trying to get information, and nobody in the government ever would give it to them.
I don't know that they really. I think that some of them really didn't know maybe that much, because I think they're a group of people, as we all know, that really govern the government.
No, I agree.
That's
why.
Maybe. I mean, they know something, but they don't tell. No.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Oh, some of the presidents have to find it out themselves. I don't know that they're automatically given that information.
Well, Reagan, the way we figured out Reagan, which is kind of weird, but, you know, first off, Reagan made 6 speeches where he talks about alien invasion, what we're planning together. He talks about it, but more than that, he instituted Time Gap. Time Gap is the United British Defense of Outer Space. It's in Australia. Then he instituted Star Wars. So he knew something was going on, and if you go by him, ET don't seem to be all well, I think in his case, it was paranoia, to be honest with you.
Well, exactly.
I think it was overreaction to somebody visiting the planet, and I think it just freaked him out. But Time Gap is serious. I mean, they've got serious weapons down there. And, their job is the defense of outer space. Somebody told me, oh, that's right above our planet, me and Russians. I said, no, outer space is beyond the moon, just in case y'all didn't know that. Inner space would be the distance between the moon and us. And then what was funny is when we researched Star Wars, the lasers that were being designed were much too powerful for knocking down missiles.
Mm-hmm.
These were designed for something much different. So, a Reagan knew something. I just don't know what he knew. But he knew E.T. was visiting, that's for sure.
I think
it's scary, though.
He probably didn't know enough on a spiritual level, or maybe he just... I think there was a lot of fear back then.
I agree. I think that's what it was.
And it was, you know, just running around and not really understanding and trying to... I'm not real sure.
Yeah, or maybe it was just his way of beating the government over the head so he could spend money. I'm not sure. He is a politician after all. we'll leave that one alone so we don't get a bunch of letters now. Wait, what's this one? Jane is writing in from Jane, where are you? Oh, in Canada. Hey, what's up there in Ontario? You know, where'd you write in from Ontario? If you know anything about the Thunder Bay International Airport, why don't you send me some information on this? Because out of the blue, Linda and I were down in Gulf Breeze, Florida a couple weeks ago and had a little episode where we had some weird time thing in. My GPS on my phone says I was in Thunderbird International in Ontario, Canada, which I've never been there, by the way. So I'm not sure what that was about. Anyway, to get back to his question. He wants to know if he wants to know, do you feel that the ETs are here for what reason? As far as you're concerned, what do you think the ETs are doing here?
Well, I think there are many races, and I think there are here to help the planet to get on to a higher vibration with the flow of everything else. I feel like there are groups of these cosmic people who are sent to planets. This is kind of interesting. I feel myself receiving this information right now. But Earth is not the only one that is on a lower vibration. I think there are others. And I think that these cosmic friends are sent there to help lift it to where it can join a more evolved vibrational experience. Galactic Confederation, you know, come on, you know, join the group. That's what I think. And there are those that are really trying to help. I think that, you know, someone asked me if they're good and they're bad, okay? I don't think it's a question of being good or bad, you know. It's just a beingness, you know. They're from love. They're from a love is an energy and a vibration, and if you have a lot of pure love energy, thoughts of understanding, you can make contact with people beyond this dimensional realm. I may be getting off track of the question, but I feel like that they're here to help us. And I feel there's so much more technology and abilities that they have to share with us if we would just open to them. And everything is energy and everything is vibration. So as they can only do so much because we're not open to that. So there's a limiting there of awareness. I mean, can you imagine if one landed or if the few started walking down the street, what would happen? Well, really, people are causing through a costume party somewhere. And I know there are many that walk among us. There are many cosmic people from probably different races who blend in with the crowds, and they could do it very easily. because of the people that are not aware. I think it's a very easy thing for them to do. As far as coming out and associating openly and making an announcement that they're here and why they're here, I think that's another story. But I think they're some of them come among us. I don't think it's in groups or it's like a ship that just can land and come out. But I think that, you know, that there are some that can come in, like a few at a time, and blend in. That's my opinion.
Now, Carol writes in from Clearwater. Now, Carol's at Clearwater, Texas, Clearwater, Florida, Clearwater, where? There's a few Clearwaters on the planet. Clearwater, Texas, okay. Well, hey, I've been to Clearwater, Texas. Matter of fact, I met Jim Sparks and Daryl Sims in Clearwater, Texas at a little mini conference we attended. It was very interesting. She wants to know, do you think that all the different aliens that are coming here, do they all get along, or is there some tension between some of them?
Well, I don't think they all get, I think they all have, some of them have different projects, different agendas. And I'm sure there are some that would not get along, just like not all people get along.
Good point.
But I think it's an understanding on a higher level. And I also think that there are some laws, and I don't know how to word this really, but there's some laws and cosmic laws that they have among themselves, territorial, that certain things are allowed by certain races and others. They respect each other's boundaries in relation to this planet and others on this that are like Earth. I think some of them do. A lot of them do. That's what I'm getting.
Well, that's what I'm receiving right now. That actually makes sense that some of the would get along, some of them might not get along. Because most of the contactees we talk to say that grays were a created race by the light beings. They were created as, like, galactic policemen, for lack of a better way to say it. When I first heard that, I was kind of like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, we tell everybody when they start getting in this field, they should start in the ancient history and work forward, because there's a ton of information in history. Well,
like the ancient aliens are a wonderful program for that.
Yes, it is.